Well, a God morning to you, and welcome back to the God School. You may have noticed we were in a series called The Time for Hiding is Over. That I'm putting on the shelf for a while. It is most wonderful knowledge to see God's hand in history, to understand His faithfulness through history, in seeing He has done for His people. Israel and Judah, so much of it coming true. But today, I moved in a different direction. I'm not sure, to be honest with you, when we're going to get back to looking at all those evidences contained in God's revelation, that is, His Word, the Bible. I'm not sure when we're going to get back to them. I want to speak today first of all, to myself and to you whom God has given ears. I want to speak to you today of faith and hope and even of love from God's Word. Surely these are trying times. Circumstance surrounds us. We are assaulted all day long by the ungodly. I'm not necessarily singling these days out as different than any other day that Christians for 2,000 years, or that the people of God, since God chose Abraham 4,000 years ago, that they're any different. Nonetheless, today I want to respond for purposes of causing God's children to continue in faith and hope and love. We've been to this place before. I would have you open your Bibles to Psalm 42. This is a psalm of David, the great psalmist of Israel. Uh, God called David a man after his own heart. And his psalms are precious to his people. Because they reach where we live. And like they did unto David, they also give us hope. He opens his psalm and he says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, "Where is thy God?" The "they" in this verse are the enemies of God. They may be people. Surely we've all encountered those. They may be circumstance. The news is full of doom and gloom and despair. Hurricanes, mass murders, man's inhumanity to man. Circumstance that is used by our ultimate enemy, Satan, the god of this world. For Paul tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against wicked spirits in high places. Which are meant to diminish faith, to dim hope, by asking the question that the enemy of God asks, "Where is thy God?" The response David gives, and he says, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me." "For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept," translated holiday, "the set times of God." He was doing the right things. And yet, the enemies of God kept assaulting him with that question, "Where is thy God?" Now, verse 2 says, my soul. The Hebrew word is nephesh. We encounter that word first when God in Genesis says, and God formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into man, and man became a living soul. This is that part of me that can reach up in spite of circumstance and grab hold of God and his word. And so he begins to speak and says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He goes on and he says, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. He just finished talking to himself, trying to get himself up. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember thee in the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and of the hill of Mizar. I don't have enough time to go into those references. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Circumstance, which the enemy attempts to use to remove the hope of God and the promises of God, which we have heard. From us to cause us not to remember. Yet, he says, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, in the midst of these assaults by God's enemies, David says, I will say unto my rock, the word here is Selah, cleft rock. And we have that wonderful song of the church, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As I've said often here, folks, I'm preach to myself first. Hopefully, the springs as last week spoken of out of Psalm 84, may also be a refreshment for you. As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say daily, "Where is your God? Look at all these circumstances. How could a good God allow all these circumstances to continue?" First Corinthians 9 says, "My God shall not tempt you beyond that which you are able." And goes on to say, "But with the temptation, provide a very specific way of escape for each one of his children." There is not a circumstance which we might find ourselves in which God has not before spoken a promise that we might grab hold of and continue in faith and hope of his word. "Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God." Paul, in that wonderful letter to the book of Romans, says, "Hope that is seen is not hope, for if you see it, why should you yet hope for it?" That's a very truthful statement. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." A slight change in perspective by the psalmist. In verse 5 of this 42nd psalm, he first says, "Praise him for the help of his countenance." Here, now, he's getting a little wiser. You know, he's looking afar off for the help of his countenance. Now, he's coming and saying, "The health of my countenance." This word, health, in the 11th verse, in the Hebrew is yishi. translated many times salvation. It is the root of Yeshua, of Jesus, of my countenance and my God. These two psalms, though separated by someone in some times past, they really run together. These might be a daily refrain. They might be a two-week journey of a Christian. You know, I have in my Bible a note here, and it says, "The Father's Journey," Psalm 42 and 43. And I've got lines going up and down and up and down and up and down. Can you relate? Psalm 43 says, "Judge me, O God. Plead my cause against the ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man." You ever encounter those? "For you, the God of my strength," he's claiming where he gets his strength, and then he questions, "Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and unto thy tabernacle." When you do that, God, then I will go to the altar of my God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp I will praise thee, O God, my God. This kind of reminds me of that part in that last piece on Psalm 84, where, you know, showers of blessing will fill the pool. No, the man has already dug it. David's digging the well here. He's told us twice his response to that question, "Where is thy God?" You know, "Do all this for me, God, and then I'll go unto the altar of God." No, no, no. Our hope is in God. He's speaking to his soul. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" He says in the fifth verse, Hope, speaking to his soul, hope thou in God. In the 11th verse of Psalm 42, he says, hope thou in God. Notice, now, he just says, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. He that dwelleth, Psalm 91 says, in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What a wonderful declaration. And the one who recognizes that says, I will yet say, in response to that wonderful promise, to God, thou art my refuge and fortress. There is that which God has put in me in spite of the assault of the enemy, whether they be friends or demons, circumstance, whatever might attempt to diminish our faith and hope in God and his promises. God is our refuge and fortress, impregnable. And he goes on to say, my God, in whom I will trust. We're all anxious to have the complete manifestation of God's promises. Faith keeps holding on to them. Hope is our catalyst. Isaiah, in the 64th chapter, in the anxiousness, in the great hope, in the no doubt of God's promises, that is, in the faith of God's promises, he reads, oh, that thou would rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burns, the fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at his presence. When thou didst terrible things which we look not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. This is a prayer. And in the midst of the prayer, Isaiah says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he, that is God, has prepared for them, This is individual. Those who truly do pray, our Father, which art in heaven. What he has prepared for him that waiteth for him. He's so anxious in these first three verses, and then he remembers, like David remembers, like you and I remember. And the anxiousness subsides. And the hope comes alive. This word translated waiteth, it has two parts. It means to entrench, to dig into. We have this whole book of which it says, all the promises of God are in him, that is, Jesus Christ. Amen. The second part of this word, waiteth. It is with expectancy. That is the hope. It means shut up and expect. To be ready for a command. Expect it. There be some that say, well, I could do that as long as he commands what I want. In Psalm 32, it says, in the 16th verse, let's go to the 15th. Let's go to the 14th verse. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thine hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. You notice can you relate to this one who is called a man after God's own heart in the ups and downs of this journey of faith? Deliver me from the hand of mine enemy and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Chesed, translated mercy, translated loving kindness, translated grace. Not for our sake, but for his grace's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously. Against the righteous, against those who by faith have received God's righteousness. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which you have laid up for them that fear thee, which you have made for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. This word fear, I would that the translators expounded a bit more on it, but it has to do with revere, to regard with respect and affection mingled with awe. And love. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, he repeats that passage of Isaiah 64:4, and he says, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has entered into the minds of men what God has prepared for them that love him. I want to encourage all of you and courage, it's 90% of faith. The 16th Psalm says, and this is a messianic psalm. This is one that speaks of Jesus Christ himself. And in the 8th verse it says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory, my boasting boasts, and my flesh also shall rest in hope. God's word says of you that he chose you out for himself in Christ before the foundation of the world, and we have this hope. Whatever your circumstance might be, that you can say with Jesus and in Jesus, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. For the help of his countenance, for the health of my countenance. Countenance here in this 42nd and 43rd Psalm speaks of presence. In Romans 1:18, it speaks of God's wrath against all ungodliness. Asabian is the Greek word. It means lack of awareness of the presence of God. Therefore, godliness is awareness of the presence of God. My soul that part of me which can reach up and grab hold of God and his word in spite of circumstance. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand pleasure forevermore. in the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, I looked up the word joy. You say, well, Don, you're in the Old Testament. Yeah, well, just hear me out. And the word, there are many words used. Let me just say them. Greek, kairo, to rejoice. Greek, kara, joy. Greek, syn kairo, to rejoice with. Karis, grace. Karizomai, to give freely. Karit, to bestow favor, bless. Charisma, gift. Eucharisto, to show favor, give thanks. Eucharistia, gratitude, thanksgiving. Eucharistos, grateful, thankful. In thy presence is fullness of joy. I'm going to end with this note from that same dictionary. In Judaism, at Qumran, we find the Old Testament motifs of joy in God, of God's own joy, and of eschatological joy. The elect, chosen of God for himself, can rejoice in spite of present suffering because they know that they are in God. And that's the God School for today.